Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of item Aleph Amud Bet by the two dots. The Gemara here is addressing again what's in our Mishnah. We have three opinions in the Mishnah with regards to Tumtum and Androgynous. Tanakamu says, Tumtum and Androgynous, lo b'migdash, lo b'midina. It is not enough of a mum to allow you to shecht it outside of the Migdash, but it is sufficient, a mum, to disqualify it from the Mizbeach. Rabbi Shmuel came along and said, Ein decha mum gadol mizeh. There's no greater mum than that. We discussed yesterday whether that means he thinks that it's a zachar vadai with a mum, or whether he has an imtim salomar. Is it an ekeva? And then maybe it's not an ekeva, it's a zachar. If it is a zachar, it has a mum in it. We discussed those two possibilities in Rabbi Shmuel. And then we have the chachamim, omrim, who are the rabbanan batrai, enu bechor ela nigzaz v'ne'avad. There is no kedushat bechor whatsoever. A tumtum and androgynous sound like they are a birya b'fnei atzma. They're their own creation, and therefore there's no Kedushat Bakor. Those are the three opinions we saw in the Tanaim in our Mishnah. And now we have the statement of Rav Chisda, which is going to be the topic of today's daf, which is Amar Rav Chisda, Machloket Bandroginus. The Machloket that we saw in the Mishnah is only with regards to an Androgynous. Aval B'tumtum, when it comes to a Tumtum, Dibri HaKol Sveku, everybody agrees that it is a Safek. So the concept, or the possibility that they should be a Birya B'fnei Atzma, according to Rav Chisda, only exists by an androgynous. So an androgynous, they argue about whether it's a birya or whether it's a zachar and a keva, it's a fake. Well, with regards to tumtum, everybody agrees it's a safek zachar, safek nikeva. There's no option for it being a birya bifnei atzma. And therefore, a kadosh misfeka. And for that reason, it's going to be kadosh. As opposed to an androgynous, which has the possibility of being a birya bifnei atzma, which would not be kadosh at all, because then it's not a zachar, for sure. It's not an akiva either. And therefore, it would have no kedusha whatsoever. Over here, by tumtum, there's only two options. It's either zachar or nekeva. If it's a zachar, it's kadosh, because that's a bechor. It's a nekeva, it's not kadosh. So, Rav Chisda makes this statement differentiating androgynous from tumtum, and saying androgynous has a third possibility, which we don't have by tumtum. Androgynous has the possibility of being zachar, nekeva, and, or, a birya bifnei atzma. Antumtum only has two options, zachar or nekeva. The option of birya bifnei atzma doesn't exist. And therefore, for sure, by tumtum, it's a safek kadosh, because you have only have two possibilities. You don't have this possibility that's not kadosh at all. The problem with Rav Chisda's statement, and we're going to see this recurring throughout the daf, is that Chazal in the Mishnayot, in the Braitot, Tanaim, later on Amoraim, always group androgynous and tumtum together. So anytime we find something in the Mishnah or we find it in the Braita, we're always addressing both androgynous and a tumtum. If that's the case, Rav Chisda is making a fundamental distinction between them. How could it be that they're always showing up together if there's such a distinction between them? That's basically the nature of the next number of questions we're going to see in the Gemara, which is, doesn't sound like that, because we see androgynous and tumtum brought together in many instances. Amalei Rava, elemeato barachin. Why by arachin is it not yerach? You should at least assess it, meaning that if it's a safek zachar, it's a safek nekeva. We know from the end of Parshat Bechukotai that the tables of arachim set out the price for a zachar, set out the price for a nekeva. And if you are a safek zachar, safek nekeva, at least, misafek, you should make them chayav in the price of a zachar. Because, at worst, it's an ekeva, and possibility that it is a zachar. Why then do we have a lama tanyo? Why do we have a braita that says, hazachar? And as Rashi notes over here, it's mi ribuya dehei. You wouldn't learn this just from the word zachar itself. Because it says, hazachar, velo tumtum ve'androgynous. Not a tumtum and not an androgynous. Now, you can exclude something if it is a birya bifnei atzma. If it's its own entity, you can say a zachar does not include this entity. On the other hand, if you believe that it's a safek zachar, safek nekeva, then why does hazachar exclude it? The Torah doesn't come to address issues of safek. That's what we already noted yesterday, that you don't need a pasuk to tell you that a safek is excluded. A safek is exactly that. It is a safek. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what it is. The Torah knows what it is. We don't know what it is. But that doesn't change the din. If it was a zachar, it should be this. If it's a nekeva, it should be this. But there's no issue of safek. So why would you group together tumtum and androgynous and exclude them from arachim? So Gemara says, Same Mikan, Tumtum. You should eliminate from here Tumtum. That's going to be the recurring answer of the Gemara, is even though you find Androgynous and Tumtum grouped together in all these instances, the truth is, according to Rav Chista, it really only should be about Androgynous, not about Tumtum. And Tumtum was dragged along because they come as a pair in many places. But the truth is, Tumtum should not be found there in that Braita. And the Braita is only excluding an Androgynous. Hazachar tells you it has to be a Zachar in order to be subject to the Arachin, not a case of Androgynous, where it's possibly a Birya Bifnei Atzma. Mar says, Tashma, Yochol lo yehei be'erech ish. You would think that it does not have an erech of a male. Aval yehei be'erech isha. So the pasuk tells you that it's not subject to the erech of a zachar. But maybe that then would drop it down to a level of a nekeva, as the Rabbeinu Gershom says. Dei machmirim alav mispeka. Since it's a sefek, the Torah is not going to be machmir on him, but you'll be subject to the erech of an isha. Tamalomar hazachar im nekeva. So once again here, there's a ribuya from the word im. The word im is extraneous. And from that extra word, im nekeva, velo tumtum veandroginus. Again, they're excluding tumtum and androgynous from the word im, which implies that both of those could be a birya bifnei atzma. They could be not a zachar, not a nekeva. So samim ikan tumtum. Once again, drop tumtum from here. So then the Gemara brings tashma. Let's learn it from the bright here. Im zachar im nekeva, which is by shlamim in the beginning of Vayikra. Korban shlamim can be brought from both a zachar and a nekeva. And the pasuk says, im zachar, im nekeva. And on that we have the drasha, zachar vadai, nekeva vadait. It either is a zachar or it is a nekeva. What it can't be is, velo tumtum veandroginus. It can't be a tumtum and an androgynous. Now once again, if Rav Chista thinks that a tumtum is just a safek zachar, safek nekeva, then it is either a zachar vadai or a nekeva vadai. We don't know, but it is one of those two. And therefore it should qualify as a shlamim mimonofshach. On the other hand, if you believe it's a birya bifnei atzma, you can understand why it's excluded from the pasuk. It's not a zachar vadai, it's not a nekeva vadai, it's its own entity. So now the braita says you exclude from that both tumtum and androgynous. Again, sami mikan tumtum, drop tumtum from the braita. Tashma, hazachar velo nekeva. Kishu omer lamata zachar, shein tam alomar. This is the braita that we brought yesterday with regards to the zachar that is mentioned by the Korban Olah at the beginning of Vayikra. By the bakar, it says it has to be a zachar tamim. And then again, by the tzon, it says it has to be a zachar tamim. And we said that that was extraneous because the vava chibur tells you whatever is true of the bakar is true of the tzon. So why do you need to mention zachar again? So when it mentions the mata zachar, it mentions zachar again, shein tam alomar, it wasn't necessary. Mata malomar, so then why is it written? Lotzi tumtum veandroginus. Like we said yesterday, it comes to exclude a tumtum and androgynous. And again, if it's a safek, you don't need a pasuk to exclude it. So it must be that there's a possibility of it being a birya bifnei atzma. And it mentions here, tumtum and androgynous. Again, sami mikan tumtum. Drop tumtum from the braita. Tashma. Another instance. Hanevad. Bamuksim. These are animals that are disqualified from going on mizbeach because of that which transpired to them. Nevad is something that was worshipped at Avodah Zarah. Muksa, something that was designated for Avodah Zarah, whether it's Tekrovet or whether it's in the service of Avodah Zarah. Vayetnan, it was used as compensation for a zonah, ha-mechir, or it was exchanged for a dog, mechir kelev. Ve-tumtum ve-androgynous. Again here, you have tumtum and androgynous in this list. We're speaking about, over here, birds, torim and bnei yonah, which are kosher to be brought as korbanot in the Mikdash. The reason we know that is because of the next line, kulam mitamim v'gadim aveit abliyah. They all cause tumah when you swallow it. It's a din that's only true with regards to nevelat of tahor. A kosher bird that is a nevelah, you become tamay when you swallow it. All of these birds that have this issue with them are disqualified from being brought on the mizbeach. Now that they're disqualified from being brought on the mizbeach, you have a problem when you bring them to the mikdash. In the mikdash, they don't do shechita on the bird, they do malika on the bird. The malika is permitted and does not make it into a nevela if it is a proper korban and it's a qualified korban. There, even though technically it's a nevela, the Torah prescribed malika and therefore allows the kohen to eat the chatat, if it's a chatat or the olah to go on the mizbeach, even though it would have been a nevelah outside of the mikdash. Problem is, all of these birds are disqualified from the mizbeach. When you perform malika on them, they all become a nevelah because they're not ra'oi to go on the mizbeach. So now that you have a nevelah, when you swallow it, if you eat it, you're going to be mitameh begadim, beit bliyah, like the case of nevelat of tahor. In this list, you see all the items here, including tumtum and androgynous, which means that they are all excluded from being kosher korbanot. Now, with regards to birds, there's no necessity for it to be a male or a female. Gender is irrelevant with regards to birds. If you believe that tumtum is a safek zachar, safek nekeva, then it doesn't matter. You can bring the bird because whether it's a zachar or whether it's a nekeva, it's a kosher korban. And therefore, a tumtum should have qualified as a good korban based on Rav Chista's statement. So why is tumtum included in the Tanakhama statement? Tumtum androgynous, he says that tumtum androgynous do not cause tumat nevelat of tohor. So here Rav Elazar omer, kol makom shenemachar zachar v'nekeva, anytime it says in the pasuk zachar nekeva, ata motzi tumtum androgynous mibneihem, that causes you to say tumtum androgynous should not be included. But oh, v'lonem marba zachar nekeva, by oh, where there's no demand for zachar or nekeva, gender is irrelevant. Ein ata motzi tumtum androgynous mibneihem, therefore you do not exclude tumtum and androgynous from them. And obviously, Rabbi Elazar would also believe that they're kosher la'akravan mizbeach. And if they're not excluded because there's no zachar nekeva over here, that means that not only are they not mitamei tuma bebeit abliyah, they're not nevelah, but they're actually kosher to go on the mizbeach. So here the question is obvious from the Tanakhama, which is the Tanakhama who does include tumtum and androgynous and says that they are mitamei tumat bigadim abeit abliyah. So they clearly believe that they're nevelot. And according to Rav Chista's understanding of tumtum, which is it's a safek zachar, safek nekeva, it shouldn't have been a nevela. It should have been a kosher korban. Why is it that it causes tumah bebeit abliyah? That's a clear question from the Tanakhama. Rashi says that the question could also be from the statement of Rabbi Eliezer. It's true over here, we don't have a question because he takes out tumtum and androgynous from the Braita with regards to nevela tof tahor, with regards to korbanot in the Midash, because there's no zachar nekeva, but he also states that anywhere else where it says zachar nekeva in the Torah, you would have excluded tumtum and androgynous. Again, he's also excluding tumtum. Why is he excluding tumtum if it's a safek zachar, safek nekeva? So given that, you really have a question, according to Rashi, from Rabbi Eliezer as well. Because anywhere else where it says zachar nekeva, he is motzi tumtum and androgynous. So again, the Gemara answers the same way, which is, Samimikan tumtum. Take out tumtum from this braita. You have so far series of braitot that tell us that a androgynous and a tumtum are excluded from either the word zachar and nekeva, some sort of extraneous lettering, wording that excludes them. And given that, it would have been an assumption that we're not talking about a safek. You don't need a pasuk to exclude a safek. You need a pasuk to take care of something that's not whatever is demanded by the pasuk. And according to Rav Chista, that might be true by an androgynous, because that could be a birya b'fnei atzma, but a tumtum is always a safek, which is it's a zachar nekeva, why should it be excluded? The problem is that Rav Chista's statement wasn't simply that a tumtum is a safek, he says a tumtum divrei hakol is a safek. He doesn't just say that a tumtum is a safek as opposed to androgynous, which could be a birya b'fnei atzma. He makes a definitive statement that nobody thinks that a tumtum is subject to birya b'fnei atzma. Over here, you have a bright dog with position saying that it is a birya b'fnei atzma. Given that, that would undermine Rav Chista's position because now Rav Chista can't say divrei hakol because that's not divrei hakol. And the Gemara goes through each of the bright dog and says, drop tumtum from the bright dog according to Rav Chista. And again, it seems strange, but given the fact that androgynous and tumtum are paired together everywhere else, it's not surprising that every braita they're mentioned together, even though maybe it's not correct in these instances, and that's what the Gemara is saying. Take tumtum out of these braita. Tashma, next braita. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Hatrefa, Vakilaim, Veyotze Dofen, Tumtum and Androgynous. These items, which are a trefa as we know, something that's disqualified because of a problem that will cause it to be a treifa, as we learned in Masechet Chulin. Kilayim is a crossbreed. Beyotze Dolphin is an animal not born through the birth canal, but rather through breach through a cesarean section. Tomtom v'androgynos, that's what we're looking for. All of these items, lo kadoshim, they can't become kadosh, below makdishim, and they can't make other things kadosh. V'amar Shmuel, how do we explain this? What's the meaning of this statement? Lo kadoshim v'tmura, they can't become kadosh if you transfer kadusha onto them through tmura. V'lo makdishim lasot tmura, and they don't have the capacity to transfer kadusha from themselves to other items. So now, first of all, in terms of them accepting kedusha from tmura, that's easier to understand. Meaning that if you have other animal that is kadosh, and you try to transfer the kedusha from that animal to these animals, it will not work. Even though the Torah says that you can do tmura, rabbi tov, tov bera, which means that you can even do it from a tamim to a baal mum, and it will take effect. Even if you have a mum mi'ikara, tmura causes the kedusha to devolve upon the animal that has the mum in it. Here, what he's saying, and based on Shmuel's explanation, is that even though tmura normally affects a mum kavua, it's not chala alehem. It does not devolve upon these items. These items are so far excluded from the world of behemot and korbanot. They're so far off the reservation, they don't even qualify as being a mumi karo. They're out of the picture completely, and you can't make them kadosh. But then there's the second statement, which is, if they are kadosh, they can't make something else kadosh through tmura. The obvious question is, how could they be kadosh? If you just told me there's no kadusha that devolves upon them, how does that happen? So Rashi addresses that issue, and he says, Ve'echidami, she'ena atzman kadoshim, kagon she'yu vladot kodshim. They were born to a mother who was already hekdesh. Over there, the hekdesh happens automatically, agav iman, because of their mother, that kadusha devolves upon them, even though they themselves, you cannot make kadosh. And even though through tmura you could make them kadosh, but here they're born or they are created through their mother as being kadoshim. And for that reason they are kadosh. And those that are kadoshim cannot then pass on that kadusha to others. I mean, if you try to exchange or move that kadusha from them onto others, it will not be successful. Now, amongst the items here is a tumtum and androgynous. And it's saying here that a tumtum doesn't have a din of kadusha. Why not? If it is a zachar or nekeva, then it's not a birya bifnatzma, it's not its own entity, where you can say that it's so different or so differentiated that it has no kedusha. It's either zachar or it's a nekeva. You pick whichever one you'd like it to be, but that's a safek. And a safek should mean that it works, meaning that the kedusha should be able to be transferred to them, or you could be makdish them and then transfer the kedusha to something else. Why should a safek zachar, safek nekeva be subject to these rulings that are found here according to Rabbi Elazar? Gemara again says, Sami Mikan Tumtum. Drop Tumtum from the Braita. Tashma. So we're going to bring the exact same Braita, but it has a little nuance in it, which makes it harder for us to take out the word Tumtum, which is, Elazar Omer Chamisha, Lo Kdoshim, Lo Makdishim. There are five types of animals where they cannot become Kadosh, and they can make others Kadosh. Again, the same list that we had before. Beluhin, Treifa, Mikilaim, Yotze Dolphin, Tumtum, and Androgynous. Exact same five we had before. So then why bring the Braita again? Because there's one additional nuance here, which is there are five items. Now you can't use the answer we've used all along, which is take out Tumtum. Now you have a huge problem. In the other cases, you could drop Tumtum because there was nowhere where it defined in the Braita that Tumtum had to remain. Over here it says there are five, and Tumtum is one of the five. You take Tumtum out, you don't have five anymore. Apik tumtum va'ayo yatom. Don't worry about it. You can take tumtum out, and we will replace it with a yatom. That's something, again, that we learned back in Chulin, that a yatom, a animal that is an orphan, is not kasher the hakrava to be brought on the mizbeach. And what is a yatom with regards to behemot is a case where shemeita imo b'shat leida, where its mother passed away at the time of birth. Obviously, it doesn't mean that later on this animal is 2 years old and its mother has died, that it's not qualified to go on the mizbeach. Yatom by animals is a very particular definition, which means that it never really saw its mother. Its mother died at the time of birth. That's why it's classified as a yatom. And given that, it's disqualified from the mizbeach. Because the pasuk says, shivat yamim miyatachat imo, that the mother has to be there in the beginning in order for it to be qualified to be a korban. If there's no tachat imo, then it's disqualified as a yatom from going on the mizbeach. And so we're going to replace tumtum with yatom. And that way we will get the five. And we can eliminate tumtum from the braitot. So again, here we've done this over and over and over again. We brought all these braitot that seem to indicate that tumtum is excluded, which would imply that it is a birya bifnatzma, not a safek. In all the instances, our answer is take tumtum out of the braita. Andrigonus is right, could be a birya bifnatzma, but tumtum cannot be. That's the view of Rav Chisda. And so far we've kept Rav Chisda's position alive, where you've said everybody agrees that androgynous could have a birya bifnei atzma, and that's why there's a machloket there. Tumtum cannot have that. It can only have a safek zachar nekeva. And therefore, all of these exclusions don't make sense, and you have to drop tumtum from the breita, because it's either zachar nekeva and should have been qualified in all these cases, mitok safek, to be subject to whatever the ruling was. So Mer says, lema kitanaye. Let us suggest that this position of Rav Chisda, that a tumtum direakol sveku, is really subject to machloket tanaim. Rabbi Eli Omer mishum Rabbi Yishmael, androgynous bechorhu umuomoimo. This is a position that we saw similarly in our Mishnah, which is an androgynous is considered to be a bechor umuomoimo, but it comes with its mom. And so in our Mishnah, just like we discussed the shita of Rabbi Yishmael, this is the same shita of Rabbi Yishmael over here. Bechomim omrim ein kedusha chalalav. The Chamim, like the Rabbanan Batrai of our Mishnah, say that no Kedusha devolves upon it. Basically, it's a Birya Bifnei Atzma, the androgynous. Therefore, it can't be Kadosh, B'Bechorah, period. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Harehu Omer, Hazachar. Pasuk says Hazachar. B'chol Makom Shenemar Zachar, Eino Lotzi Tumtum V'Androgynous. So the Pasuk says Zachar. We saw that in yesterday's daf, either from the Pasuk in Re'ei, or the pasuk in Parshat Bo, we saw Zachar and Zacharim, that tells you that the Bechor has to be a Zachar. And he's saying that that word Zachar comes to teach you that a Zachar, yes, Tumtum and Androgynous, no. So now, what you could argue again is, Chiteima, Sami Mikan Tumtum, drop Tumtum from the Braita again, and you solved your problem. Here you can't do that because Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Hainu Rabbanan. Then you made Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda look exactly like the Rabbanan over here. Because the machloket is Rabbi Shmuel, who says that an androgynous is either a safek nekeva, a safek zachar, and if it is a zachar, it has a mum, or it's a vadai zachar with a mum. The Rabbanan Batrai come along and tell you androgynous is a birya bifnei atzma, its own creation, and therefore it's not subject to kedushat bechor at all. And then you have Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Shimon saying, well, the word Zachar comes to exclude Tumtum and Androgynous. Now, the only way Zachar would exclude a Tumtum and Androgynous is if they are a Birya Bifnei Atzman. If they're a Sveika, you don't need the Pasuk to exclude it. Then it would be a Safek Bechor, similar to what Rabbi Yishmael says in the beginning. Or it could be something different than Rabbi Yishmael, but it would be a Safek. The fact that he excludes both Tumtum and Androgynous tells you that it's a Birya Bifnei Atzman. So now you're going to tell me, drop Tumtum from the Braita, the only thing you're left with is androgynous. That means that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is saying that androgynous is a birya bifnei atzma. That's exactly what the Rabbanan said. The Rabbanan said androgynous is not subject to the Zabachor because it's a birya bifnei atzma. The only way to differentiate between Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda and the Rabbanan is to say that he thinks that tumtum is a birya bifnei atzma. So there is your machloket tanaim. El alav tumtum ike benayu. That's the difference between them. Tanakama sabar ain't kedusha chalalav androgynous. That when we say kedushat bechor does not devolve upon an animal, that's when it's an androgynous. Avo tumtum sveko, but tumtum is a safek, v'kadosh min sveka, and therefore it would be kadosh min safek. Maybe zachar, maybe nekeva, mi safek, it has kedushat bechor. That means that the kohen won't get it because it's mosimi chavero la baraya. Then you're going to have to wait for a mum in order to eat it and treat it with the kedushat bechor when you do eat it, because of the possibility that it is a zachar. But that's the view of the Rabbonon in the Mishnah. Va'ata Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ben Neymar. And then Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda comes to say, Tumtum biryahu. He says that Tumtum is also a birya. Just like androgynous, so too Tumtum. Below Kadosh. And therefore it's not Kadosh at all. Now you have what Rav Chisda said, which was Divrei Hakol. Everybody believes that, but a tumtum, it's a safek. That's not true. It's actually a machloket tanaim over here. Rabbanim believe that a tumtum is a safek, like Rav Chisda, and Rav Shimon Yehuda thinks that that's not the case. Now, even if you say, okay, so Rav Chisda just holds like the Rabbanan, the problem is that Rav Chisda's statement wasn't simply that a tumtum is a safek. He says a tumtum divrei hakol is a safek. He doesn't just say that a tumtum is a safek as opposed to androgynous, which could be a birya b'fnatzma. He makes a definitive statement that nobody thinks that a tumtum is subject to birya b'fnatzma. Over here, you have a braita with the machloket tanaim, with one of the positions saying that it is a birya b'fnatzma. Given that, that would undermine Rav Chisda's position, because now Rav Chisda can't say divrei hakol, because that's not divrei hakol. Where it says, well, the kuli alma tumtum bebirya lo misapko. So now the Gemara goes back to supporting Rav Chisda's contention and saying everybody agrees that a tumtum is not a birya b'fnei atzma. Zachar nekeva hu de misveka. The question or the safek is whether it's a zachar nekeva. So now once you've done that, what's the difference between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda? The Chachamim are saying androgynous no kedusha, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda is saying androgynous and tumtum no kedusha. Why would he say that a tumtum doesn't have kedusha if it's a safek zachar, safek nekeva? You'd only say that if you thought it was a birya b'fnei atzma. So how do you explain their machloket? My answer is, meitil mayim b'makom zachrut, if it urinates from the place where it should be a male, the kuliyama lo plige de zacharu. Everybody agrees that it's a male. Pli plige, where they argue is, b'meitil mayim b'makom nakvut, where it urinates where the female genitalia would have been. Marsavar chashinan shemenefcha zachruto. One of them holds that maybe the zachruto got flipped over linakvoto to the area where the nekeva would have been. Marsavar lo chashinan, the other one says that we don't worry about that. So now, what the Gemara now has done is moved over this machloket to a totally different plane. We're going to see upcoming in the Gemara that there's a distinction between human beings and animals. With regards to human beings, the reproductive systems of the male and the female manifest themselves in the same location. So therefore, if you have a tumtum by a human being, you can't distinguish or determine by the location of where they urinate from to tell you whether it's a zachar or nekeva. Because structurally, they're very similar, except for the organs that differentiate them. But location-wise, they're in the exact same location. So just because a human being urinates from a particular place doesn't tell you whether they are male or female. On the other hand, by animals, there is a distinction between the physiology of the animal as to where the male reproductive parts would be found versus the female parts. And therefore, wherever the animal urinates from should give us an indication as to whether it's a male or a female. So now, by a tumtum, which we don't know whether it's a zachar or nekeva, but in order for the animal to survive, it has to urinate. So now we watch the animal and we see that it urinates. The location from where it urinates, there has to be a hole there or something that allows it to urinate. That will give us the information as to whether it is a zachar or whether it is a nekeva. So Gemara says, if it's urinating from where the male reproductive parts and urinary tract would have been, then for sure it's a male. And that would be determinant. And that if we know that it urinates from wherever a zachar urinates, we're done. It's definitely a zachar and is no longer a safek. The other possibility is it's urinating from the place where a female would urinate. Over there, the Gemara says it's not definitive there, because there are two possibilities as to why it's urinating from there. One possibility is it's urinating from where a female would urinate is because it is a female. The other possibility is that it's really a male, but because its reproductive parts or its member is contained internally, that's the problem here. A tumtum is where we only see skin on the outside, and we don't see the reproductive systems. We don't know whether it's a male or female. We don't see anything. So now, here you have a hole with urine that's coming out of it where the female parts would have been, but that could be caused from either there being a female or the possibility that it's a male, but the male member is internally trapped and then causing the urine to move from where it would have urinated as a male to the part where it is a female. The member itself could have moved the liquid to that other location because it's trapped inside under the skin, and therefore we have a safek, and that's the machloket here. So So now the Gemara is Kulei Alma. Everybody agrees that if it is urinating from where a male would urinate, that for sure means it's a male. Because if it was a female, there's no way that the urine would be coming over here. Because the female part doesn't have anything that would extend it or move the urine from one location to the other location. Given that, if you have it urinating for a male urinate, we can assume, we can determine that it is a male. The question comes up, Tiplige, when they urinate from the place where a female would urinate. Mar Savar, one of them says, Chashinin Shemnechpa Zachuto. We have a safek. Is it a female? Or is it really a male whose member is carrying the liquid over to where it would be a female and urinating from there? If that's the case, I have a safek, and that's the view of the Chachamim. Chachamim say, Androgynos Biria Bifnei Atzma, regards to a tumtum, it is a safek if it's urinating from the place that it is a nekeva. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yehuda says, Lo Chashina, we don't worry about that. That means according to Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehuda, and a tumtum is either a male or a female, definitively. You just need to know where it urinates from. As soon as we know where it urinates from, we know whether it's a male or a female, and that's determinant. But it's certainly not a birya bifnei atzma. And that's the machloke between them. The other them think a tumtum is a birya bifnei atzma. Tumtum is the difference between them, but tumtum is the difference between them in the world of safek. How do I deal with the safek? Now we go back to Rav Chisda's statement, we really have to amend it a little bit. Because now Rav Chisda is saying, by androgynous is a machloket as to whether it's a birya bifnei atzma or it's not. By tumtum, there is no such machloket. Everybody agrees it's a safek. The truth is, it's not that everybody agrees it's a safek. Everybody agrees it's not a birya bifnei atzma. That's a new way that we're reading Rav Chisda. Not that everybody agrees that a tumtum is a safek, zachar, safek, nekeva, because Rav Shimon Bar Yehuda doesn't think it's a safek at all. He thinks it's either a zachar or a nekeva. You can determine what it is as soon as it urinates. So what we're saying is Rav Chisda's statement is not that it is a safek. All he's saying is that it's not a birya. It's definitely not a birya bifnei atzma. And even Rav Shimon Bar Yehuda agrees with that. Might be that one tano, meaning Rav Shimon Bar Yehuda, believes that it's not a safek at all. It's actually a zachar or a nekeva. But at least now we can uphold Rav Chisda's statement and say there are no tanaim that believe that a tumtum is a birya bifnei atzma. To look at the top Tosfot, Hashad Amar Rav Chisda Leel. Aval tumtum diriya kol sfeikohu, akarchacha lo amru b'meitil mayim b'makom zachrut. He says, it can't be that he's speaking at a case where it urinates from the male parts, because avadai zachru, because that's definitely a zachar, and nobody thinks it's a safek. Ela b'meitil mayim b'makom nakvut, valibi de tanakama. And according to the tanakama, aval, shimon leit leit shum sfeikah b'tumtum. He has no safek at all with the tumtum. Because wherever it urinates from, that's what it is. So now, according to Rashi, Rav Chisda fits into everyone because we reworded or we reread Rav Chisda to mean not that it is a safek, but rather that it is, it's not a birya bifnei atzma. Tosfot says that Rav Chisda really only fits in according to the Rabbanan or the Tanakhama's view. It doesn't really fit in to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yehuda's view. Now Rabbi Shimon Bar Yehuda is not undermining Rav Chisda, but it is not agreeing with the fact that it is a safek. Now, once we say that, in our Mishnah, we have the Rabbanan Batrai, who say that androgynous is a birya bifnei atzma, it's not kadosh. Now, based on Rav Chisda's statement, when he's saying divrei hakol, he's saying divrei hakol in our Mishnah, according to Tosfot. All the positions in our Mishnah believe that an androgynous is either a birya bifnei atzma or not, but everybody agrees that a tumtum is a safek. Now Tosfot wants to know, how does he know that the Rabbanan Batrai agree with the Tanakhama and they don't agree with Rabbi Shimon? According to Rabbi Shimon, it isn't a safek. And Tosfot thinks that Rabbi Shimon doesn't necessarily fit with Rav Chisda. He answers, the Rav Chisda, the Shum Tana lo abibirya, mistama moda le Tanakhama bitumtum. Because Rav Chisda believes that there's no Tana that believes that it's a birya, the most logical way to explain the Rabbanan is to say they agree with the Tanakhama that by a tumtum it's a safek. Just like Rabbi Shmuel agrees to the Tanakhama with regards to tumtum, so too the Rabbanan Batrai will agree to the Tanakhama with regards to tumtum. So according to the Balei Tosafot, Rav Chisda's position is now that our Mishnah, which has three different dayot, comprised of, there's a machloket about androgynous, whether it's a birya or a safek, and then there's tumtum where everybody agrees it's a safek. And even the Rabbanan Batrai, who don't give any opinion with regards to whether it is a safek or whether it maybe is a vadai, There we think they have a safek, because just like Rabbi Shmuel, who didn't disagree with the Tanakam with regard to Tumtum, so too the Rabbanu Batrai are not disagreeing with them, and everybody believes that Tumtum is a safek. Rashi goes one step further and says, not only is Rav Chisda's statement true by our Mishnah, it's also true by the Braita. And even though Rabbi Shimba Yehuda believes that it's not a safek, but a badai, that doesn't undermine Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda didn't really say it was a safek. All he said was that it's not a birya bifnei atzma, and that everybody subscribes to. All right, now we have a psak halacha, which is kiha dehore Rabbi Eliezer, like the psak of Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rashi, the girsa is, you can see here, mikaihai dehore Rabbi Eli. Rashi says that it's Rabbi Eli who's giving the psak here, not Rabbi Eliezer. And Rashi therefore has to say that this Rabbi Eli is not the same Rabbi Eli we found in the Braita. This Rabbi Eli is an Amora, and the Rabbi Eli we found in the Braita was a Tano. Because in the Braita, Rabbi Eli quotes Rabbi Yishmael. So now when we quote Rabbi Eli over here, we're not saying it's the same Rabbi Eli as before. The way that we have it in our girsa, it's less of an issue because it says Rabbi Eliezer, who's an Amora. But anyway, we paskind, Pibehema, Metil Mayim, Bimakom Nakvut, Chulin. He paskin that a behema that urinates from the place where a female would urinate is chulin the gamre. In essence, he was saying that it was a nekeva vadait. It's definitely a nekeva. That means that in essence, he is paskining like Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. Shimon ben Yehuda says that when you know that it urinates from the female area, that for sure means that it's a nekeva. And that's exactly how either according to Rashi Rabbi Eloi or according to our Girsa Rabbi Eliezer paskin. Toi ba Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was perplexed by this psak halacha. Man de lo chash le Tanakama ule Rabbi Yishmael. He doesn't worry about the Tanakama and Rabbi Yishmael and our Mishnah, who clearly believe that with regards to a tumtum and that it's a safek. And over here he's paskening that it's chulin the gamre. Why doesn't he worry about the other two opinions? So Rabbi Yochanan says, why is he paskening like Rabbi Shimba Yehuda when you have the Tanakama and Rabbi Yishmael who disagree? Belema Rabbi Yochanan nami mando dechash the Rabbanan batrai. He says, wait a minute, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan also say that this psak of Rabbi Eli, or according to our Gemara Rabbi Eliezer, also ignores the Rabbanan batrai, the Rabbanan of our Mishnah? Why is he saying only two out of the three Tanaim of our Mishnah? Even the third Tana, the Rabbanan at the end of the Mishnah, they also believe that a tumtum is a safek. The Rabbanan of our Mishnah say that an androgynous is a birya bifnei atzma. But they also think that a tumtum is a safek based on Rav Chisda. Dar Rav Chisda, machlokes ben androgynous. Aval tumtum divrei kol smeka. They also believe that a tumtum is a safek. That means you have all three Tanaim in our Mishnah believing that's a safek. And he's paskening against all three Tanaim. Mar says, Rabbi Yochanan lo svir le Rav Chisda. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold of Rav Chisda's din. And therefore the Rabbanan batrai maybe believe that even a tumtum is a birya bifnei atzma. So that means that this psak of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eloi, doesn't necessarily go against the Rabbanan batrai. And Tosafot says earlier that Rabbi Yochanan's disagreement with Rav Chisda is not only that it can be a birya bifnei atzma, but it means that even if you open up the tumtum and find him a zachar, he's still classified as a birya bifnei atzma. And that Rav Chisda, not because the pasuk wouldn't come and exclude a safek, because Tosafot already proved that you can have a pasuk dealing with a safek when it's sometimes this, sometimes that. Rather, Rav Chisda fundamentally believes that it's either a zachar or it's a nekeva. Whereas Rav Yochanan believes that it can also be a third category, which is birya bifnei atzma, which Rav Chisda does not agree to. Rav Yochanan believes it can be a birya bifnei atzma, which means that even if you discover, open up, and find out what the tumtum was, it still doesn't change the fact that it's a birya bifnei atzma. And that would be the machloket between them with regards to the status of a tumtum. Where it says, ilo svirle, if he doesn't hold the Rav Chisda, le mehuda markira bonan batrai. So then, if he doesn't hold the Rav Chisda, why don't we say that Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Eli over here is paskening like the Rabbanan batrai? And not just like Rabbi Shimba Yehuda as a dat yachid, he's also paskening like the Rabbanan batrai. The Rabbanan batrai who say that an androgynous is a birya bifnei atzma, maybe they also think that a tumtum is a birya bifnei atzma. Because he doesn't hold the Rav Chisda, that means that even a tumtum could be a birya bifnei atzma. Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Eli has a tana in support of his position, and he's taking a position that follows those tanaim. Why is it a problem? So he says, Achinami kamar. That's exactly what he's saying to him. Man shavak trei vavit kechad. Why did you drop two opinions and paskin like one, which is that according to this Pesach Halacha, I'm holding like Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, who's a dad yachid, but I'll hold like the Rabbanan Batrai. Okay, the Rabbanan Batrai is a single opinion. The Bright over here and our Mishnah bring two other opinions that indicate that a tumtum is a sapek. If Shita and Rabbi Shmuel, and if the Shita of the Tanakama, both of which indicate that it is a sapek a tumtum, why are you passing like the Rabbanan Batrai or like Rabbi Shimon Yehuda of the Bright and saying that it is a birya bifneatzma or a vada nekeva? The Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar Kiman Savro. So then who's Rabbi Elazar following, or according to the Gersa of Rashi, Rabbi Eloi, who's he paskening like? Yochanan has a strong contention over here, which is that there's a dat yachid that he's following versus all the other opinions, which seem to think that it's a safek, and he's picking the one opinion, the Rabbanan Batrai in the Mishnah, because they hold that. According to Rabbi Yochanan, just like an Adrogonist is a birya bifnatzma, so is a tumtum. Or, according to Rav Chista's view, he's following just Rabbi Shimba Yehuda's position in the Braita, which is that it is enekeva vadait. So then, why is he doing that? Why is he picking that opinion? Because he says, ki had amar reish lakish, lo amrul tumtum safek, elu ba'adam. Tumtum's only a safek when it comes to human beings. Ho v'zachruto v'nakvoto v'makom echad. Because the reproductive systems, the urinary systems, are in the same location. They just manifest differently on the external side. But internally, all the piping, everything is the same. If it urinates where a male would urinate, it's a male. If it urinates in a place where it's a female, it's a female. He's subscribing, Rabbi Lazar, or Rabbi Eloi, to this position of Rish Lakish, that the whole problem of Sfeik by Tumtum is only manifest in human beings, it's not manifest in Behemot. And that's who he holds like, and that's who he is paskening like. And Rashi comes to the conclusion here, therefore Rabbi Eloi, according to Rashi, Rabbi Lozer and Ar Gemara, Aliba de Kulu Hore, he paskens like everybody in the Mishnayot that we have here. Because according to this view of Reish Lakish, according to Rashi, everybody agrees that there is no Safek by a Tumtum. If that's the case, then Vayda Kamar Tanakama de Madita and Enu Nishkat, the Tanakama of our Mishnah, who says that you can't shecht it based on the fact that it's a tumtum, but meitel mayim b'makom zachrut kamar, the vadai kadosh. The reason you can't shecht it is because it is in the place where it is a male. Hilkach enu nishkat midinav mikdash. Well, if it's a male, then it should be kadosh b'bechora. But he says no, because lo chazi l'akrova de nirek ibalmum, because it looks like a balmum, the fish ain't lo zachrut, because it doesn't have a male member. So even though we know it's a zachar, which means it's kadosh b'bechora for sure, nevertheless, you can't put it on the Mizbeach because it doesn't look like a male. It's missing its male member hanging out because it's sealed up inside. That's a mum that's good enough to disqualify it from the Mizbeach. It's not good enough to shecht it with Medina. So it sits in that middle part. And Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah is only speaking about an androgynous, not about a tumtum. And the Rabbanan Batrai also are only speaking about an androgynous, but by a tumtum, kuliyam mamote. Everybody agrees if it urinates from where it is a male, then it is a male, where it urinates from, it's a nekeva, it's a nekeva. And therefore, Rabbi Eloi, or Rabbi Elazar over here, is passing like everybody. Everybody thinks like him, which is, you can determine whether it's a zachar or a nekeva. That means if it's urinating from a place where a female would urinate, it's not kadosh b'bechor, because it's a female, and therefore there's no din of bechor, it's chulin legamre. That's how Rashi learns it. Tosafot here, and it says, that's not true. V'lava liba de kule alma. It's not according to everyone. He's paskening like Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda, because the pshit of the Tanakama de Matanitin, it's clear from the Tanakh of our Mishnah that it's a suffix. They ain't shochtim lo be mikdash v'lo be medina, because you can't shecht it in mikdash medina, that makes it into a suffix. So Tosafot disagrees with Rashi. Rashi created a situation in which the Tanakama could believe that it was not a suffix, but still be not kosher in the medina and not kosher in the mikdash. Tosafot says the Tanakama definitely believes that it's a suffix. And therefore, this psak can't be according to everyone. This psak is following the shita of Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda. It's the machloket between Rashi and Tosafot as to whether this psak of Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Eloi is the gulei alma, and then we have to reread the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, or is it only according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda? And if that's the case, then the Tanakhama of our Mishnah remains with the view that it is a safek with regards to a tumtum. Then the reason that Rabbi Elazar paskin like Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda versus the Tanna Kamma is because of Reish Lakish. Where Reish Lakish says that the Safek really only exists by an Adam, not by a Behema, which has the Shita Mekubetz, it says in Ote, hey, Reish Lakish is coming to tell us that the Rabbonon Batrai in the Mishnah hold like Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda, and therefore they believe that it is a Nekeva Vadai, and therefore they believe not only by Androgynous, but also by a Tumtum, there is no Kedushat Bechor, it's Kulin Negamrei. And therefore he's passing like Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda, who the Rabbonon Batrai also subscribe to, and not like the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah. Now Matkiv La Rabbi Shaya, Belichosh Shema Nechpa Zachruto Nakvoto. Why don't we worry about the exact issue that we discussed above, which is, if it's urinating from the female location, maybe that's because the male member internally is exiting or urinating over there. Amalei Kiman. Who do you want to set that up with? What are you being koshesh for? Ki Rabbi Meir, the Chayish Lemiuta? You're going to go to a dat yachid of Rabbi Meir who worries about the minority of cases where if it's urinating from the female area, that maybe that's a male member that's been extended over there and is urinating over there. That's a rare occurrence. That is a minority of cases. Why would you be choshesh the miuta? Abayir ba'avin, Rabbi Chananya ba'avin, tamrei tarvayu, afilu teme rabbonon. You can even have this safek within the world of rabbonon who are not choshesh the miuta. Ho ishtane, ishtane. Once there's something unusual, there's more than one thing that's unusual. Meaning that rove animals appear and manifest in a certain manner. Once this animal already has an oddity about it, who says there's not another oddity about this animal? If it's already a tumtum, which is unusual, then how far-fetched is it to say that it also is a male animal urinating from the female area because the male member internally is moving the urine over there? That's not so crazy. If you're ready, you think that this animal's out of the rove, which means that this animal has already left the world of rove because it's a tumtum that makes it unusual. Once you've left the world of rove, maybe then we view this animal as being a statistical oddity, and therefore statistics no longer apply to this animal. So even though most animals that urinate from the female area are females, even if they're a tumtum, nevertheless, since this animal's already an oddity, maybe that same oddity exists here, that it's a male urinating from the female area. And therefore, you would say, even according to the Rabbanan, there's a chashash. Where it says, itamar ishtane, itamar lo ishtane. Some say that once you say that it's odd, it can be an oddity all the way through. Itamar lo ishtane, and some say that it doesn't do that. And that'll be the explanation of whether you believe that you have to be choshesh for this, or whether you think it's a nekeva av kulin. And so that'll be the difference between the Tanna Kamma and the Braita and Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda is not choshesh for that. He doesn't say, oh, ishtane, ishtane, and therefore, if it urinates from the female area, it's vadaya female. And according to the Tanna Kamma, the Rabbonon, we said before, they believe that if it urinates from the female area, it's a safek. And they're going to hold the whole ishtane, ishtane. They are subscribing to that, and they worry about that. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elihu Paskin over here is going to hold like Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda in our case, as well as all the Tanaim of our Mishnah, who he can fit into, according to Rashi. According to Tosafot, he's passing like Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda. That's it, across the board, not like the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah. And there's a dissenting opinion, the Tanna Kamma of the Braita, who believes that there is a safek here, and maybe even the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah, according to Tosafot, who believes there's a safek here. And the Machloka revolves around exactly this issue. Hov ishtane ishtane. Do we say, once you have a statistical oddity, that many other statistical oddities could appear in this animal, and therefore the rove doesn't apply to this animal? The Gemara says, let's say, lema ishtane v'lo ishtane tanaehi. Let's say that it's a machloket tanaim. The truth is, we already made it a machloket tanaim, but here it means, let us say that it is a machloket tanaim in another place, whether we invoke this principle or not. Detanyo, we have a braita. Tumtum shikidesh. A tumtum that gets married. Kiddushav kiddushin. If he marries a woman, we have to worry about the kiddushin that he presented. Nitkadesh. If he received kiddushin, kiddushav kiddushin, we also have a safek. We don't know if it's a male, we don't know if it's a female. That means if the tumtum initiated kiddushin, we're choshesh that it's a male, and the kiddushin were effective. If the tumtum receives kiddushin, we're choshesh that it's a female, and then the kedushin or kedushin because it was a recipient of kedushin. Vicholetz, and therefore he does chalitza. Vicholtzin liishto, and the other brothers do chalitza with his wife. Umiyabim liishto. And they also can do Yibum or perform Yibum with his wife. So now, according to this Braita, you have a Safek Kiddushin with regards to the Tumtum. So now, the Tumtum himself, since it is a Safek Kiddushin, we say that if he married a woman or a man proposed to him, you have a Safek Kiddushin. Now, we have an issue which is some of the brothers passed away, or one of the brothers passed away. And now there's an obligation to perform Yibum over here. We say about this individual, he should perform Chalitza and not do Yibum. We'll have to see why, because it's not certain that this individual is a male. But there might be other factors, which we'll see in a second. On the other hand, if this individual, Tumtum, passed away, then the brothers can do Chalitza with his wife, or they can perform Yibum with his wife. The reason they can perform Yibum with his wife is because Mimonavshach. No matter what, it's not a problem. If he's a female, that means he was never married to this woman. And this woman is who has no relationship to these brothers. And they're just marrying a woman from the shuk. If he was really a male and he performed Kiddushin, then they're performing Yibum and it's fine. So Miman of Shach, they can perform Yibum. He cannot perform Yibum because the possibility of that he's a woman. We'd rather have one of the other brothers perform it. If there are no other brothers do it, then he instead gives Chalitza in case he is a male. Then he does Chalitza. That's one braita. Tanya Yidach, another writer. Eshet Tumtum, Choletzet Velo Mitya Bemet. That the wife of a Tumtum can only have Chalitza perform with her and not Yibum. Which goes against what we just said. Before we said, Mimonavshach, why can't you perform Yibum with his wife? Either she's independent, because he was a female, and therefore there was no din of marriage here, and there's no Eshet Ach, it's not a problem at all. Or, he was really married to her because he was a male, and therefore they should be able to perform Yibum. Here, the Braita says, only Chalitza, no Yibum. Savrua. So the Gemara assumes here, to Kuleyama ka Rabbi Akiva. Everybody holds like Rabbi Akiva, Damar, Sris Chama, Lo Chaleitz, Velo Miyabem. If you are a congenital Saris, which means that you are unable to reproduce, from the male side that is impotent, if you're a Sris Chama, if it's congenital, then Lo Chaleitz, Velo Miyabem. Then you don't do Chalitza, you don't do Yibum. So Machloge, Rabbi Lezer, and Rabbi Akiva, we're going to see Rabbi Lezer in a minute, as to whether a Sris Chama or a Sris Adam is more problematic. According to Rabbi Akiva, a Sris Chama, since he never had a Shata Kosher, since he never could reproduce, he never had a moment where he could reproduce, that individual is a Saris, and the Dinim of Yibum don't apply at all, because the Dinim of Yibum are Lahakim Shem Lachiv, is to give a name to the brother. That implies that the brother could have produced a name for himself. Now that he didn't, we replaced that with the brother in order to do that. But if he's a Sris Chama, he never could have had children, then he's not subject to the din of Yibum, because Yibum's not relevant by him. Number two is, if it's a Sris Adam, where it happened later on, and he became impotent because of whatever issue, whether it was an accident, whether it was intentional, he's no longer able to reproduce, but we keep it says there that you do perform Yibum, because he had a Shata Kosher. He had a time where he could have reproduced, he could have been making shame. Never reduced. Rabbi Lezer believes just the opposite. Rabbi Lezer believes that by a Sris Adam, you don't perform Yibum because it's permanent, irreversible. Sris Chama, where it's congenital, that can be cured. And therefore, it is something where you would perform Yibum. So Gemara is saying, we're holding like Rabbi Akiva, that this congenital Sris over here, lo chaleitz v'yom b'yabim. They're not subject to the world of Yibum and Chalitza. My love, ha'kamithlege. And therefore, the machloket here in this bright is the following. The braita that says, Tumtum performs Chalitza with the brother's wives. Or the brothers to the wife of the Tumtum are either doing Chalitza or Yibum. Lo Amrina. They don't say, they don't say, once we have one oddity, there are other oddities here. Because what our assumption is, if he's a Tumtum, then maybe also he is a Saris. And a Saris, according to Rabbi Akiva, is disqualified from Yibum completely. So now, we're not going to say that. We're not going to assume just because he's a Tumtum, he's also a Saris. And therefore, we're going to assume that he was able to reproduce, or that if they cut him open, he would be able to reproduce. And that's the case. They can perform Yibum with his wife. Because maybe he was a male. And if he was a male, but he couldn't reproduce, then there's no din of Yibum, and it's a problem of Eshedach. So we're not going to make that assumption. We're going to make the assumption that he could have reproduced. And therefore, the brothers can perform Yibum with his wife. The one, or the braita that says, that you can only do Chalitza with his wife, not Yibum with his wife. Once there's an oddity that it's a Tumtum, that maybe it's not any, that it's also not able to reproduce. It's a seris. And therefore, you'd have a problem. Because if he's a zachar, then he was really married to this woman. If he's a seris, he's married to this woman, but unable to reproduce. That makes it an eshedach, shalom b'mokom mitzvah, because over here there's no mitzvah, yibom l'hakim shem l'achiv, because he couldn't be making a shame for himself. So you don't have the mimon of shach anymore. You can't say, oh, well, if he was a female, then he wasn't married to her. And so that's an independent woman. If he was a male, he was married to her, and you're performing yibom. That's not true, because there's a risk here that you're not allowed to perform yibom over here, because tumtum is also a saris. And let us say, that's exactly the machloki between the brightot. As to whether we say, once it's a tumtum, it's also a saris. Do we say, oh, vishtane, once there's one oddity, maybe there's another oddity? Or maybe we don't say that, and that'd be the machlok between them. Gemara says, lo, tukuli amrina, and oh, vishtane, ishtane. Everyone says, once there's one oddity, there's another oddity. Ha, Rabbi Eliezer, ha, Rabbi Akiva. The machlok between these brightot is whether you subscribe to Rabbi Eliezer, or you subscribe to Rabbi Akiva. Tumtum is a congenital problem, and then that would make it into a saris chama. If you say, oh, ishtane, ishtane, means once there it's a tumtum, then you also assume there's the oddity of it being a sris chama as well. Well, according to Rabbi Akiva, sris chama is out of the world of Yibum, because that disqualifies you from having Yibum performed, because you couldn't be making Shem Achib. According to Rabbi Eliezer, sris chama is curable. And if that's the case, then he is able to be making Shem. That means Yibum does apply. And that's the machloket in the Brito. It's sris chama. Do you perform Yibum with his wife, or do you not perform Yibum with his wife? Rabbi Akiva says you don't, and he'll be the second brayta. Rabbi Eliezer says you do, and he'll be the first brayta. Everybody agrees that it's a tumtum, and everybody agrees that we are choshes, that this is a sris chama here, because hol b'shtane ishtane. Nevertheless, they argue about what the status of a sris chama is. Macholi Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, and that's the difference in the brayta as to whether you think they perform even with his wife or not. Uman tano aliba de Rabbi Akiva. Who's the tana that follows the sheet of Rabbi Akiva that believes that a sris chama does not perform Yibum? Ilema Rabbi Yehuda. If you think it's Rabbi Yehuda, Havadai Saris Mishabile. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that he's definitely a Saris. That's not. We have a Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tumtum Shinikra, Finimsa Zachar. A Tumtum that when you tear him open, when you do the surgery and you realize that he is a male inside, Harzeh Lo Yachlots. He doesn't do Chalitza, Mibnei Shehu Kisaris. Because he is definitively considered to be a Saris. So if he's definitively a Saris, then you don't need to perform chalitza. You don't need anything. You can't perform yibum for sure, but also you don't need chalitza because he was a saris. Yibum and chalitza are partners. Only when there's a mitzvah of yibum is there a mitzvah of chalitza. There's no mitzvah of yibum, there's no mitzvah of chalitza. The reason that we said in the bright that you perform chalitza, not yibum, means that this is a fake. We don't know what the status is. Because we don't know what the status is, you don't perform yibum, but you do perform chalitza. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no safek here. There's sris for sure. That means there's no yibum and there's no chalitza. Ela Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Must be Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Tumtum lo choletz. Tumtum does not perform chalitza. Shemei kara v'yimatzei sris kama. Because maybe you will do the surgery, open him up, and find that he is a sris kama. So therefore he doesn't perform chalitza. Ato kol de mikra zachar mishtakach. Nekeva lo mishtakach. Why is he saying that? How do you know that when you open up, you're going to find that he's a male and not a female? So Gemara says, Shema Kamar. It doesn't say that he will be found, but rather, he might be. Shema Yikara V'Yimtza Nekeva. Maybe you'll open him up and find that he's a female. Inami. Even if you open him up, Zachar Nami, Shema Yimtza Sris Chama. Then maybe he'll be found as a Sris Chama. So Mai Benayu. What's the Nafgamina between them? Whether it's Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, they both say that by a tumtum that his brother passed away, both of them say lo yachlots, he should not perform chalitza. So Amarava lipsol b'makom achim velachlots shlo b'makom achim ike benayu. The difference between them is whether he has any impact whatsoever. In a normal case where there are multiple brothers, we tell this tumtum to stay out of the picture, don't get involved. We don't want you performing chalitza because, number one, you might be a nekeva. And even if you're found to be a zachar, then you might be a saris. And if you're a saris, you can't perform yibum because you are not able to be making shem achiv. And so therefore you're not chayav in yibum at all, and therefore you're not the one to do the chalitza over here. So we tell him, stay out of the picture. But what happens in a scenario where he does it anyway? He ignores us and he performs chalitza. According to Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't matter. Because if he's a tumtum, he's badai a saris, and he has no shaykhut to the world of Yibum over here, and the other brothers can do whatever they want afterwards. They can perform Yibum, they can perform chalitza. His action was meaningless. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, it says Shema. Maybe he's in a keva, maybe he's a zachar, and he might be a saris. Which means might be a saris. If he might be a saris, that means maybe he's not a saris. That means if he performed chalitza, he disqualifies everybody from performing anything afterwards. Because once we say, keven shelo bana, once she didn't bonet, shuv lo yibaneh. Which means that once a woman has chalitza performed with her, she can't have yibum with any of the other brothers, because she's disqualified now from the parsha of yibum completely. So his chalitza could have disqualified, because we don't know, maybe he's not a saris, and if that's the case, the other brothers can't marry, and we'll have to have one of the other brothers perform chalitza to be sure that chalitza was performed, but nobody allowed to perform yibum. So that would be one nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says he's definitely a saris, never is chalitza is meaningless here, and the other brothers can do what they like. On the other hand, for Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, he's a safek saris. And since he's a safek saris, if he performs chalitza, he disqualifies all the other brothers from performing yibum, but they'll have to do chalitza, because he maybe is a saris, and his chalitza was meaningless. And the other nafkamina is when there are no other brothers. If there are no other brothers, and he's the only brother, then does he have to perform chalitza with this woman? According to Rabbi Yehuda, we're done. There are no other brothers. He's a sris chama. There's nobody to perform yibum over here. The woman goes free. She's released immediately. According to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, where there are no other brothers, he's a safek. Since he's a fake, he can't perform yibum, but he does have to give her do chalitza, and she won't be released until he does chalitza with her. Okay, with that, we finish the sixth perek. Hadron halach, elu mumim.